He is currently the economist with the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, our best think tank here in Michigan. His name is David Littman. He's on the other end of our line. How are you?
I'm just fine, Frank.
Hey, have you ever been approached by government to be involved in one of these projects?
Back in 76, under the, at that time, Milliken administration, Michigan was undergoing the same kind of problem fiscally, and I was part of a task force, the Michigan Efficiency Task Force, back then. Obviously, things have gotten considerably worse, thanks to bipartisan squalor, and that includes, unfortunately, going through Milliken, Blanchard, Granholm years.
Mm.
Clearly, you've got a lot of government people, people who have put us into this kind of problem. And no private sector people. People just don't understand in Lansing, nor do they want to understand, that government just redistributes wealth. It's the private sector of the state that creates wealth. And Michigan's private sector, Frank, is going into free fall.
And the private sector's not being consulted. Am I missing something here?
It's not being consulted because they don't want to hear it. The same old tax, spend, borrow is what you're going to get from these government types. And I say it's bipartisan in its approach. They just want a bigger government and a smaller private sector, and that's what they're getting. And to raise taxes, even to think about raising taxes, not only puts capital off in other countries and other states, but it also means further movement, out-migration, as the Mackinac Center has pointed out.
What are the options for the governor here facing this billion-dollar deficit? And
well, the billion-dollar deficit, Frank, is just the tip of the iceberg. You've got at least $21 billion in unfunded liabilities growing because government pensions and health care are 2 to 3 times what the private sector has. Look at Oakland County. You just had Brooks Patterson on. Oakland County has payroll benefits, that are 55% of the total payroll, whereas the private sector typically is 16 to 20%. Gives you some idea of what they will not look at and why they won't look at it. They want a larger, self-serving government.
Well, how do we approach that, though, that problem?
That
when you talk about laying out a potential economic shortfall on our children and grandchildren, that certainly fits this category, doesn't it?
Well, there'll be fewer children and fewer grandchildren here in Michigan, that's for sure, the way we're going. But the answer, of course, is Michigan was a premier magnet for population, employment, and income growth prior to the personal income tax. Today, because the revenue has come in faster than the private sector has grown, government has gotten fat. Now, if they were to privatize some of the prison operations, $200 million savings annually. If they were to eliminate the planning agency in Lansing, this industrial organization where Lansing chooses what businesses should be here by subsidizing, another $40 million.
Is that the MEDC, you mean?
Yeah, well, that's the whatever they call it now, the 21st Century Fund. They use different euphemisms.
Mm-hmm.
You eliminate the prevailing wages. This is a SOP, non-competitive bidding for union-type projects. $60 million per year. You rationalize the health care and insurance system in Lansing and throughout the state, $400 million. You can get $2 billion worth of savings if they only had to recognize the efficiencies that the private sector has had to do.
So we don't have to cut police, fire, education funding in the state?
No, you don't have to do that. You can figure out better ways of doing them. One is to shift the state police road patrols to less expensive county sheriff deputies. You'd save $65 million a year. These are the ideas that they simply will not recognize because they want government to be the big honcho at the expense of the private sector, and it's becoming self-realization. That's how Michigan is going.
But what is the motivation for that? I don't understand.
Well, you've got a full-time legislature, for one thing. These are full-time. There are only 5 other states in the United States that have full-time legislatures. I ask you, how many days in session do you think these legislators have, for example?
Oh, it's minuscule. I've looked this up before.
No, it's less than 100.
Of course it is.
And a lot of those sessions aren't even full sessions. I say there are so many savings, but if they just convene these panels of government officials, the ones who have gotten us into this problem, then of course they're not going to have any motivation. They can always make excuses, and the press will pick up their excuses why the state will fall apart if they don't get more tax revenues from whomever.
David Lipman, why is, I still am puzzled that, number one, we don't demand that people from the private sector be involved in committees like this. And I wonder if you were asked, would you even serve on this kind of emergency financial advisory panel?
Yes, of course I would. But the thing is, you've heard the proverbial, the person who beats his head against a wall just to leave a bloody spot. You really don't want to do that. You'd like a whole coalescence of auditors and people who know what's going on, who are used to handling Enron types of situations in government. And that's what Michigan has to look at, not just one person to stand against an army of 20.
So you're saying that what we have right now is equivalent to what happened at Enron here in the state of Michigan?
It's worse. When you look at the unfunded liabilities and what the, as you mentioned earlier, Frank, what the liability is going to be on who's ever left here in Michigan, you have something that exceeds any Enron situation tenfold.
What options does the governor have in terms of raising our taxes?
Well, of course, they're supposed to pay attention to the Headley Amendment, which they're trying to get rid of, by the way, which would prevent them from raising taxes without a vote and from raising them faster than income has grown, you know, a certain formula. So they'll try that. But more importantly, what they'll do is become more devious and more underhanded by raising fees wherever and however far they can do it. And then mostly by borrowing. They're going to move, ratchet up the borrowing amounts through bonding. You've already seen Oakland County try that. So you're trying to foist onto a greater public and unborn generations the spending that hasn't been taken care of in the current time period.
We've seen some speculation there may be a tax on services suggested. What would that accomplish?
Well, drive more services out of the state, as it has already manufacturing, supplier industries, and so forth. When you tax something, you get less of it. And who gets more? That's what people should be asking by this time. Hopefully they're not blind. And what who gets more, of course, is government. And government, just brandishes and polishes up its own retirement and health care at our expense.
Well, what about a graduated state income tax?
Oh, a lot of states have that, and it's ruinous. When they look at the 10 top growing states in terms of population, income, and employment, they're the ones that have the lowest income taxes, and they're flat. The only thing halfway decent about Michigan's is that it's a flat tax. If they go to progressive income tax, given how many of our couples here are dual income, it would be ruinous. I mean, you just go elsewhere. You go to Texas, you go to Florida, like so many Michigan people have already done.
Mm. Instead of this emergency financial advisory panel made up of politicians, what would David Lipman have done? To examine the problem, to talk about it, to seriously reflect on other avenues of approaching this billion-dollar budget deficit?
Well, the first thing you explain that, again, government isn't the source of wealth. It redistributes it. And the real source of wealth is the private sector. The private sector, folks, it has to have incentives to be here, or else they go south, they go west, and they go overseas. And to the extent that we have a tax base now that is imploding, that is contracting, private sector, wealth-creating sectors imploding, that means the state government can't get fatter, and it has relative to the private sector and to many other states. And so my first critical remark would be you freeze spending at a minimum. And I don't mean freeze it with a 3% COLA increase. I meant freeze it, and then you start looking for efficiencies to reduce, absolutely reduce Michigan's spending and not just foist it off on the local governments.
All right.
I have here from the Mackinac Center over $2 billion worth of immediate annual types of cost improvements and savings that could be affected and returned to the taxpayer, so there's an incentive for working people to be here.
You mentioned some of those. Where we can access those at mackinac.org?
That's right.
All right. We'll refer everyone to that and let them see where the $2 billion in savings could come from. We always appreciate the time, David Lipman.
And I thank you, Frank.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Take care. David Lipman, the chief economist from out at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, and his thoughts on what may lie ahead.